you there, and welcome back to episode 4 of the CooperCast, the fun podcast for you, the mini motoring community. I'm Dale Blankenship, your host for this podcast, and in this podcast, I kind of shifted gears a little bit. I had planned on doing a episode, and it's probably going to be the next one now, I had planned on doing an episode on the F56 minis and their problems. Lord knows they have a bunch of them. Now, I'm not picking on the F56 in the second-gen platform cars. Not by a long shot. I've got 3 second-gen cars in the family. I enjoy them. I love them. They're a lot of fun. But God darn, am I tired of spending money on these things, and I'm going to try to help you not to do that as well. I've talked to a couple of the bigger mini repair shops and some of the dealership repair guys, and I'm compiling a list of some info on there, but I don't have it quite ready yet, so we're gonna move that back to episode 5, which will be coming out the 3rd Tuesday of March. Y'all believe it's March already? Jeez, oh, Pete's. Anyway, so I'm shifting gears a little bit, and if any of y'all know me, I am pretty passionate about things that I like. Minis being one of them, Mini Cooper owners being the other side of them. I love the Mini community. You guys are great. You're some of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life. And at 62, there's been a lot of those people in there. You know what I mean? So we're gonna do something a little different than what I had originally planned. One thing, and we're going to start out with something I like, and then we're going to get to something that just flat pisses me off. And we're going to do something I like first. I hear a lot of folks say, what Mini do I have? You hear R56, R52, F55, you know, they don't know what model they have. And it's important when you're buying parts. If you go somewhere like Way Motor Works or Detroit Tuned or Out Motoring, they're going to ask you what you have online. So you kind of need to know that. So there are innumerable places you can find them on Google. But hey, right now you're not on Google, are you? You're listening to me. So so let's run these down. I got a real quick set of cliff notes here, if you will. If you've got a hatchback, if the back of your car goes up and it's the smaller Mini, you got a hatchback, or otherwise known as a hard top. If you've got a first gen and you don't have a supercharger on it, you have the naturally aspirated 02 to 06 first generation Mini, you, my friend, you have a R50. Now, the first gen Minis did something different. Don't know why. I've asked. I haven't gotten an answer. If you have a first gen Mini and you have a supercharger, and you know it because you have that sweet, sweet whine when you accelerate it up and it runs through the RPMs. Oh, it sounds so good, especially if you got a pulley on that monster. But if you have a supercharged first gen, you've got an R53. Now, if you've got a second generation hatchback, you've got an R56. And they went away from the superchargers in the R56 and they went to a turbo model. And I've got a funny story about that. And we'll talk about that in episode 5 when we talk about the issues and the problems that the second gen cars have. So if you've got a R56, remember they're made from 07 to 2013. And Mini did something a little different on the second gen cars. Doesn't matter if you're naturally aspirated or if you're boosted, in which case the boost on the second gen cars comes from a turbocharger. But they're all R56s. Just the Coopers, which is the non-S model, or the S model, which has a turbo, all second gen 07 to 2013s, you have an R56. Now we're going to jump up to the third gen platform. If you've got a 4-door third gen car and you got the hatchback or the hardtop and you have 4 doors, 2 on each side, you have an F55. So third gen car, 4 doors with a hatchback, F55. But staying in line with the second gen cars, if you have a third gen car, 2014 and up, you have a F56. So R56 on the second gens, F56 on the third gens. That's pretty simple. They stayed consistent there. Let's jump over to convertibles. If the top of your car goes down and you have a backseat, you have what we call a convertible. Backseat's important. We're going to bring that up here in just a few minutes. If you got a first gen, they started in 05 and ran through 08. And they are an R52. Daughter had one. She had a little R52S. Cool little car. We called it Key Lime. Had a bunch of lime green accents on it. So R52 was the first gen, 05 to 08. And for that, it doesn't matter. You could have a S model or a non-S model, still an R52. Makes a difference on the hatch. Doesn't make a difference on a convertible. I don't know why. They didn't ask me. I don't have a clue. Now, remember, the first-gen car stopped with a hatchback in 06. the first gen convertibles, they ran through 08. So your second gen convertibles, they came out in 09, and they would be the R57. They ran through 09 to 2015. Cool cars, second gen cars, so they are what they are. But if you have a second gen convertible, you've got an R57. And staying consistent again, third gen cars, 2016 on up. If you got a third gen convertible, you have a F57. So it went from R52 to R57 to F57. See some consistency there? We're going to blow that out of the water right now. Clubman. Hey, Clubmans are great. I had a first gen Clubman, loved it to death. It was an 09. Sold it a year or so ago to one of our local club members. The first generation Clubman, which were actually on the second generation platform, so that gets a little confusing, was the R55. And again, doesn't matter, S model or non-S model, from 08 to 2014, if you have a first generation Clubman on the second generation platform, you had an R55. Now remember, the other ones were consistent number-wise, letters change, numbers stayed the same. That throws out in left field now. Your second generation Clubman, which goes from 2016 up, is a F54. So it went from an R55 to an F54. Play an automotive bingo here or something. I don't know really why they did that, but hey, it is what it is. So if you've got a second generation Clubman, which is a third generation platform, 16 up, you've got an F54. All right, let's jump over to the Countryman. A little more consistency there. Countryman came out in 2010, first generation Countryman. On the second generation platform, the N-Series motor. 2010 to 2016, Countryman is a R60. Daughter's got one of them now. Neat little car. Matter of fact, we took it on Mini Takes Estates 2018. Went from here out to Keystone, Colorado. Me and the wife and the daughter had plenty of room. Had a great time. Second generation Countryman on the third generation platform. That is an F60. That ran from 2017 through current. Still making it. Changed in 25, but still running that same F60 platform. And again, second generation Countryman, but third generation platform. Now let's go to the bastard cars. They were only 3 or 4 year cars, but they were some of the neatest that Mini's made, and they bring a premium damn price, and they're really hard to find. First one is the Paceman. Neat car, R61. They only made it from 2013 to 2015. It was a really cool car. Think of a two-door Countryman. If you've got a Paceman, keep it because they're hard to find. They made them very limited time. They're stupid popular, and they're pretty damn cool cars. I've driven a couple, and they're neat. I don't know why people didn't buy them. I think it's the lack of the rear doors, but that is what that is. R61 Paceman, if you've got one, you know what you got. And again, doesn't matter, S model or not S model. The other bastard models, I call them the bastard brothers. The coupe, that's the two-door car, no back seat, hard top. Looks like guys that wear the baseball cap backwards, that's what it looks like. And everybody asks them, does the top come off? There, somebody even had a shirt that said, no, the top doesn't come off, which I thought was cool as hell. But yeah, the Mini Coupe, that's the R58. Again, only made it from 2012 to 2015. Really short production time. They're a little tough to get in and out of. I remember our local dealer, Checkered Flag, over here in Virginia Beach. They had an unveiling party for the coupe when they first got the first one in. Folks are getting in it and sitting in it. It's in the showroom. One of our club members is going to get in. He says, no, Dale, you go ahead and get in first. And I'm going to sit in. And I whacked my head on the roof of that damn thing getting in. And he looks at me and says, that looks like that hurt. And I'm sitting in and go, I have a coma now. I think it probably did hurt. So you got to be a little careful getting in if you're a little bit tall and don't bend real well like I do. But they're neat cars. Once you're in, there's all the damn headroom in the world you need. But getting in them is kind of tough. We have another club member, Steve. He's a little tall, and he has to duck and fold up. Looks like origami when he gets in the damn car. But coupes are really neat. There's some really neat ones out there. You don't see many of them. And if you got one, you better keep it. If you do sell it, you can usually get pretty good money. If you're going to buy one, plan on paying good money because the coupes are neat cars. And then that brings me to the Roadsters, the R59. Again, just like the other ones, doesn't matter, S, non-S, JCW, they're all R59s. Same as the coupe, ran from 2012 to 2015. We have one of those. It was my son's originally. We kept it when he bought his new Tesla. And I really do like our Roadster. It's a cool car. The wife drives it more than I do. But again, you don't see many of them for sale. And when they offer sale, they bring really good money. And you don't see many ragged out ones. They were kind of pricey, and people generally tended to take real good care of both the coupes and the roadsters and the pacemen. I don't see many ragged out pacemen out there either. So if you've got one of the bastard triplets, let's call them, I don't want to say collectible because nothing's really collectible these days. I mean, you know, face it, they just don't make 57 Chevy fuel-injected four-speed cars anymore. They don't make cars of that caliber. But as far as mass-produced cars on a limited basis, which is kind of a contradiction in terms, the Paceman, the Coupe, and the Roadster, cool-ass cars, man. So that's the breakdowns. You can find them online. You can go to most any of the vendors, if you go to Way Motor Works or Out Motoring, any of those guys, they have a breakdown so you'll know what you have. But that's a quick rundown of what the numbers are for the models you have. And now let's talk about something, you know, I like doing the numbers thing. It's kind of cool. But now we're going to talk about some things that just piss me off. And a lot of people, not just me. One of the things that we do here at the CooperCast is we get a lot of our information, a lot of our input from you, the mini motoring community, and the Facebook groups. And one of the things that I hate more than anything in the world, scammers. And unfortunately, Facebook, being what Facebook is, it is ripe and absolutely full of scammers. Now, anytime you go into most any of the groups, you'll see folks selling things. Usually it's headlights. Headlights and taillights. That seems to be the hottest thing they sell. And there are ways to spot the scammers and ways to spot the legit guys. We're going to talk about them here in a minute. But about once a week, maybe every other week at the latest, I'll get somebody shoot me a message, whether it's a direct message on Facebook or they hit me up in a chat or they send me an email sometimes and go, hey, what do you know about this company? And I always have to ask why. And I know the damn answer before I ask why. And it's always, well, I needed XYZ part. And it's always, I sent them money, but I never got my part. And now I can't get a hold of them. And they've blocked me. And, you know, I hate to tell you, but they got your money, and you ain't getting your part. And that drives me absolutely bananas. So here's some things that you can do to do a little bit of due diligence instead of just whipping out that credit card and shooting it off to them and having your bank account drained and not getting your part. And now you don't have money to buy the part if you can find the part from a legitimate person that you need to buy your part from. So when you see somebody make a post in a group, that's usually how they'll do it. Somebody will make a post in a group that says, hey, I need a high-pressure fuel pump. Or they'll have, you know, a nice-looking headlight. And, well, your headlights are kind of faded, so it looks enticing. They're dangling that carrot out in front of you. And you ask them a question, and they go, yep, we have your headlights. And you send them the money, you never get your headlight. So how can you keep from being scammed by a scammer in a Facebook group? All right, so the first thing that usually gives these morons away is they turn off commenting. So if you can't comment on it, that's a red flag right off the bat. The other thing they do is you can't ask them a question. They say, send me a direct message, send me a DM. Well, while there may be some legitimate parts vendors that do that, all of the scammers do that. If not all of them, the vast damn majority of those morons do that shit. So be very careful there. If they don't answer your question in a chat, screw them. Spend your money somewhere else. Another big thing is they always have what you need. Hey, I need a high-pressure fuel pump. I also need a grill molding. How about a piece for my dash? How about a mirror cap cover in bright blue? They always have what you need. So they'll just add it to the bill. They'll give you a price. And next thing you know, they got your money. You know got your part. I had a lady talked to me the other day online that she needed a part and she also needed a grill piece and she also needed something else. So they settled on a price. She gave them the credit card number. And here's where they get slick, guys. They sent her a message back and said, hey, the part is actually this much more money. They already got you, so they know they're getting you money, right? So it was another $50. And then they called her back. They didn't call her back. They messaged her back and said, you know, we need insurance on this because of the cost of the part. So it's another X number of dollars. And then, oh, by the way, the part is bigger than that. So there's a oversized charge shipping. So you've already committed. You've already paid your money. They've got you for this. They've got you for that. Now they're adding more money to it. And this poor lady was out over $200. And she's never got her part. She still needed to buy the parts. And she didn't have the money now to buy the parts because these son of a bitches scammed her ass out of her money. And I hate that. That drives me absolutely bananas. So I work really hard to stop that from happening. In the groups that I admin, those guys don't have a chance. I've gotten really good at keeping those guys out. You won't see them in like the Clubman Owners page, the MC40 page, HR Mini, Hampton Roads Club Mini. They don't get in there. I see them in other groups and I notify the admins, and some admins are pretty good about that. There's one group, the Mini Clubman R55 Problems. I get folks to join my Clubman page from this Mini Clubman R55 Problems, and I know these guys are scammers. You got 14,000 people in that group, and they're not all who they should be. So keep an eye on those guys there. Another way to spot the scammers is look at their photographs. That's usually the giveaway. I'll tell you, go look at their photos and go to the oldest photo they have. And 9 times out of 10, it's not more than 3 or 4 months old. They're fairly new because what happens is somebody caught them, notified Facebook, Facebook shut them down, and they changed the name of the company. Pulled all the pictures. They grab pictures all off the internet, throw it on their page. They do it all in a day. So you'll see 30, 40, 50 photographs added same day. Now, there's no way that a legitimate business is going to do that. Another thing, since they're grabbing all those photographs from the same day, from various places all around the internet, look at the backgrounds. Don't just look at the parts. Folks, focus on the parts. But look at the backgrounds. You'll see some of them are taken on grass. Some are taken on concrete. Some are taken on bricks. Some are taken on asphalt. Some are taken on wooden racks. Some are taken on red racks. Some are taken on blue racks. Some people are holding. There's zero consistency in the photographs. That's because ain't their photographs. They don't have these parts. They don't have a single damn part. They are taking pictures from everybody else's page. Matter of fact, there's two guys that I know, and I've dealt with them personally, in the business side. One of them is Adrian Willoughby at Wilmec Mini Parts. He's up in Sebring, Ohio. Legitimate guy. Good guy to deal with. The other one is Dustin down at All Mag Auto Parts in Florida. Bought parts with them. I know guys that have dealt with him. They've done good. One of the scammers actually had one of the All Mag Auto Parts pictures on his site. You could see the All Mag Auto Parts sign in the background. And it's some company that was supposed to be over in the UK. So I shot Dustin a message. We've talked a couple of times. Adrian at Wilmec Auto Parts, I've shot him messages a couple of times and go, hey, look, these son of a bitches are stealing y'all's pictures. And, you know, they try to get them shut down, but unfortunately, Facebook, they don't give a rat's ass one damn way or the other. So, you know, they don't care that you're getting scammed. I do. Adrian does. Dustin does because, you know, they're using their pictures. And I understand it makes them mad. And it should. It should make you guys mad. One thing they do that I think is just totally hilarious, the company says they're based in California or Texas, Arizona or London or Brussels or wherever, and you start scrolling through the pictures. There was a guy the other day that was supposed to be in New Mexico, and I'm looking, he's got pictures listed of cars with the European license plates, the long, skinny license plates. He's got pictures of right-hand drive cars. Dude, your ass is supposed to be in the United States. You're not going to have Europlate cars. You're not going to have right-hand drive cars in your salvage yard. Ugh, man, I get mad just sitting here talking about it. Same thing with the guys that are supposed to be over in the UK. They'll have cars with palm trees in the background. You know, I've never been to the UK, but I'm willing to bet there's a pretty big scarcity of palm trees in London. You know? And then they have left-hand drive cars there. And, you know, the one good thing is these scammers are absolute morons. So it's pretty easy to spot them. But the problem is a lot of these people go, oh, they have my part for half of what everybody else has it for. No, they just have a picture of a part for half as much as people that really have the part for. So, again, I get wound up. I can go on for this for hours. Now, one thing, if you're a moderator or if you're in a group and the moderator has these guys in, notify them, hit that little button where it says notify admins and say, hey, look, I think this guy may be a spammer. Shoot it. You know, I always put it as false news. Don't put it as spam because everybody spams. Put it as false news on there or shoot him a damn message. Hit them, send them a Facebook message. Hey, I think this GP Auto Parts, GP Mini Parts or whoever they are, I think they're scammers. I don't think they're legit. You need to shut them down. My opinion, I think anybody that runs a Facebook group and they let somebody in that group and it scams you, one of the members of that group, I think that's somebody trying to give you your money back. He let them in. They're not doing their due diligence to keep the bad guys out. I think they should hold some responsibility. There's no way that's ever going to happen. Actually, in a perfect world, these son of a bitches wouldn't exist, so that wouldn't be a problem at that point. Another thing you can look at, the legit guys, Wilmec Auto Parts, Allmag Auto Parts, they're legit business. So if you go to their About section in their Facebook profile, you'll see they have an address, they have a phone number, they have their website listed, they have their hours listed. All those scammers, son of a bitches, they don't have that stuff. There's not a legit business on the planet that I know of that doesn't want you to know who they are and where they are. If they have an address, there's one guy, one scammer that says he's in the United States. I think he says Santa Monica. I don't remember. So it is somewhere in California. But he's got an address, 2958, and it's whatever city, California. But it doesn't have a street name. So, you know, it looks good if you just glance at it. Hey, you think everything's fine. This son of a bitch just pulled something out of his ass, stuck it up there. You think it's good. There's another guy that was in, I think he was in Phoenix, and he had an address. Sure enough, had a legit address. So I pulled it up, looked at it on Google Maps. It's a house. It's a house on a corner. Now, okay. All right. Now, maybe that's his business address and he actually has a remote location somewhere else. I doubt it, because if that's his address, you expect to go there to pick up a fuel pump or a seat or a bumper cover or a taillight. Ain't going to happen. And the bad part is whoever lives in that house probably has no idea this son of a bitch in Nigeria or Cameroon or wherever the hell he's at has picked this poor random guy's house. Somebody's going to go knock on his door and go, I want my money back, you son of a bitch. And that guy's going to be going, what in the hell are you talking about? So, I don't know. Again, I could go on for hours about this because I'm pretty damn passionate about this. I hate scammers, and I hate seeing good people like you guys getting ripped off. And I tell you what we'll do. We're going to go. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start this before this podcast comes out. Go over to the CooperCast Podcast Facebook group. I'm going to start, and I'll even pin it if I can put it to the top of the Facebook page. I'm going to put a Mini Cooper Parts Scammers post up. And everybody that I kick out of all the groups that I see, anybody, if I see them in another group, I'm going to copy that and I'm going to post it in that group. So if any of you guys got any questions, pop over to the CooperCast podcast page, take a look at that scammer list. I'm going to have them on. If you see anything, send them to me, email it to me, direct message it to me. Now I sound like those damn scammers. Or post it up on that link at our Facebook page. So, yeah, we'll do that. We'll try to, you know, you're never going to shut these son of a bitches down because they go away and then they come back. And having said that, here I go again. A new thing they've got doing is I had a guy just the other day on one of the pages. He snuck into one of the groups that I admin, and the guy's name is Joe Smith or whatever. Profile looked pretty legit, you know, didn't look like a scammer. And I noticed his first two posts that he made, somebody's looking for a part, and he says, hey, check this company out. And it's one of the scammers. And his second post, you know, same thing. Hey, if you need that part, call these guys at this whatever Mini Parts. So this son of a bitch snuck in. They went in as a fake profile. Now they're working like a salesman for the scammers. So, yeah, they're getting slick. Again, they're not the smartest son of a bitches in the world. We don't catch the smart ones. But do your due diligence. Pay attention. Be aware. Money's hard to come by. You want to keep as much as you can. Takes a lot to keep some of these damn minis running. So be very careful, guys. And again, if you got any questions, shoot me a direct message. Hey, I'm thinking about buying this part from this company. I'll see what I can do. I don't know everything, but I know I can tell the scammers when I see them. All right, so that's about it, guys. That's got wrapped up. I got to get my blood pressure down a little bit now. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about a brand new Facebook group. This is a good Facebook group. If you're doing Mini Takes the States and you're traveling solo, you need to look these guys up. So we're going to play some neat little music here in just a second. Take a quick break. Come back. Got a cool new group for y'all to pay some attention to. I think they're going to be pretty big. And we're going to talk about a event that just happened and an upcoming event or two. So thanks for sitting through me with that. Again, I got to get my blood pressure down a little bit. Catch y'all in just a bit, guys. Hang tight. And just like that, boom, here we are back after that little break. Hey, look, before we cut away, we said there was a new group coming up on Facebook. And here it is, Mini Takes the States 24 Solo Drivers. think this is a great idea. I really do. I was on a mini run put on by DC Metro Minis up in Northern Virginia over the weekend. And I was talking to Lori, and she was telling me about this new group, this one here, that she started up. And it's for solo drivers on Mini Takes the States. Now, I know it can be awful uncomfortable going on a mini run by yourself. I've done it before. I don't care. I just go. But a lot of folks are a little more timid. And going on a big run like this for a week and probably 3 or 4 days going out for some people, maybe 3 or 4 days going back, and doing that all by yourself, man, that's awful intimidating. It really is. And it's a daunting feat. So having this group take some of the pressure out of that. You know, you'll have somebody to drive with. Hopefully the folks in this group are getting together and getting hotel reservations nearby each other. I'm sure they'll be motoring together, probably having food stops and fuel breaks and biological breaks along the route. And doing it as a group, A, is a little more convenient, and it's certainly a little safer. The old saying, there's safety in numbers. Man, I'm telling you, it really is, especially when you're miles away from home. When you go to get gas, man, gas stations can be a dangerous place. They're like the watering holes in the desert, you know. Everybody goes there. Well, sometimes the bad people go there, too. And if it's just one person, yeah, you're kind of at the mercy. But if there's 4 or 5 minis, hey, you know what? It's a whole lot safer to do that. So, again, safety in numbers, and I'm sure that's what Lori had the idea when she formed this group. As of right now, there's like 150-some members in there. A lot of guys in there because, hey, believe it or not, there's a lot of solo guys and, you know, we're all big and bad and macho and everything, but you know what? It's kind of lonely, you know, motoring out there by yourself too. So guys, I'm all for it. Another thing that I was pretty impressed with that adds a lot of credibility to the group is if you look at the members that are in that group, there's some big names in the mini world that are in that group. Folks that have been doing Mini Takes the States since its inception, or at least for the last 3, 4, 5 Mini Takes the States. So in my opinion, when you get some heavy hitters like that coming in on the group, man, that just even makes things more convenient. Because if you are a new solo driver, you've got these folks that have years and years of mini experience under their belt. So they can kind of help you along there. And it's to me, it's kind of like when you went on the elementary school field trips. They always said, hey, pick a buddy. You know, you have the buddy system. That's kind of the way that I look at Mini Takes the States solo drivers being, is it's the buddy system for Mini Takes the States. One thing I see on their Facebook group they're going to do is they're going to have badges. And I love one of them says, solo, but not alone. I think that's a pretty cool badge. Another one says, solo, ask me to lunch. That could be kind of cool because, look, man, it is boring as all get out eating your damn lunch by yourself. And another one, solo, be my buddy today. And I'm sure that one will get some takers as well. I had told Lori about doing grill badges, somebody like Go Badge or something like that, and getting the solo group badge up. And, yeah, the more I think about it, that's probably not the best idea because you're telling the entire world, anybody that may be beside you, or if you're inside a gas station like a Wawa or whatever, and doing a biological break, somebody walks by and sees solo driver. Again, not everybody out there is your friend. So, you know, maybe telling the world that you're solo, it's probably not the smartest thing. So I think Lori's got a good idea about maybe, you know, bypassing the badge idea for that. But handing the buttons out at the Rise and Rally, I think that's a fantastic idea. And Lori and Vonda Moon, they're the two admins on that page. They've already got some events set up. Thursday, they've got a dinner set up at the Fork and Fig in Albuquerque. And then Friday, they have a lunch set up at a Mexican restaurant, Padilla's Mexican Kitchen, out there in Albuquerque. So try the group on, you know. Do the dinner Thursday, do the lunch Friday. See if it's for you. I bet it will be. I bet everybody that does that will see that's a really good fit. Makes them a lot more comfortable. And again, when you're comfortable, you're going to have a lot better time. So like I said before, man, this is a great idea. I'm really glad somebody did it, at least to this level. It looks like it's going to be very popular. If you get a moment, hop on over. It's Mini Takes the States, 24 solo drivers. Check that group out. Join it. And hey, look, if you're solo, participate in it. And you know, if you're not solo, grab somebody. If you see somebody wearing one of those badges, I'm solo but not alone. You know, hey, you want to follow us? You want to motor with us today? You want to meet us for lunch? It's the buddy system, man. Try to keep everybody together, everybody having fun, looking out for one another. It's what motoring is all about. It's really what motoring during a Mini Takes the States event is all about. So look it out, Lori, Vonda, great job. Look forward to seeing a lot of neat things out of y'all, and we will see you in Albuquerque. Now, coming up next, we're going to talk about an event that just happened, Helen Blitz, down in Hella, Georgia. We'll be right back for that. Okay, we have returned after that little break. Kind of like that music. So the first decent-sized mini event for the year just wrapped up. Helen Blitz in Helen, Georgia. And again, if you haven't seen it, been to it, or don't know anything about it, Helen Blitz is held in Helen, Georgia. Helen, Georgia is a little Bavarian-themed town down there in the mountains of Georgia. And it's really cool. It really is a neat little town. Great restaurants. I think I said that in the lead up to it an episode or two ago. So this event just wrapped up. It was February 22nd through the 25th. I was talking to Stephen Dollar, who was part of the group that puts that on. And he was telling me they had 44 minis show up. Good turnout. 75 visitors altogether. So, it's a good number of people. It was a charity event. The Charles Smith Gall Humane Society was their charity of choice, and they raised $2,400 or so for them. And we've done that for our little club before. We love taking care of the little critters that are out there, the SPCAs, the Humane Societies. They don't get quite the funding they should, and they do a hell of a good job. So if you're ever in the area to help out a Humane Society or any kind of an animal care thing, yeah, do that. It's a good thing to do. It'll make you feel good. So to raise that money, they had a handful of things going on. They had a silent auction, money from registration, of course, and a 50-50 raffle, along with donations. So among that, 75 people in 44 minis, y'all did good. Pat yourselves on the back. The one thing that Stephen was telling me was it was an 80s-themed event, and one thing he says is there was lots of funny clothes. Well, as somebody that kind of lived through the 80s, I don't know if I really appreciate that. but it is what it is. The 80s were definitely a different time for sure. And I'm sure that there were some antics to be seen there. I really hate that I missed that. We did Helen Blitz probably, 10 years ago or more, I bet. It's been a long time since I've been down there, and I'm mad about that because it's a really fun time, a neat place. They have lots of runs. Speaking of runs, they had a total of 9 runs over the 3 days. They had 2 runs on Thursday. They had 3 runs on Friday. And they backed that up with 4 runs on Saturday. They also had bingo, which he said that was a blast. Kind of like bingo at the Dragon. It is a blast. I don't ever win anything. So if I ever go and you're playing bingo and you see me, sit somewhere else. Because, sitting around me doesn't win you any damn thing at bingo. And Helen Blitz was held again at the Hellendorf River Inn Suites and Conference Center. Really neat little place. The year we were there, it was really neat. Service was great. The hotel was good. Everything was comfortable. It's nice. It's quiet. It is really an idyllic little town. So if y'all ever get a chance, you got about 50 weeks to start making your plans. Helen Blitz, I'm sure there'll be one in 2025. Put that on your radar. You won't be disappointed by that at all. I'll tell you, it's a really neat time. It's a really pretty area. The guys have put it on. They work hard, and it shows. They put a good job on down there. So if you get a chance, make a chance. Helen Blitz 2025. Mark that on your calendar. Now, next on our agenda is a upcoming event in Vermont. Minis Take Vermont. So hang tight. I talked to Josh Amato, who actually lives in Miami, but he's from up in that area, and he flies back up for Minis Take Vermont. Had a good little chat with him about that, so stay tuned. We got some info coming up on Minis Take Vermont. And just like that, we are back. Hey, upcoming event segment here now. Minis Take Vermont. Guess where it's held? Guess. I'm going to give it away. Vermont. October 17th through the 20th of 2024, head to Vermont. I was talking to my buddy Josh Amato, who is from Boston, lives in Miami, but flies up and helps put on Minis Take Vermont. How cool is that? That's a dedicated mini guy right there. So he was telling me that Minis Take Vermont has been going on since 2018, and this year it's at the Smuggler's Notch Ski Resort in Jeffersonville, Vermont. Now, one thing they do, they move it all around, so it's in a different area each year. Vermont ain't all that big, but they do it in a different region of Vermont every year. But they kind of cheat a little bit because there's so many cool ski resorts up there. They have a lot of areas to pick from. Now, Josh is telling me that Mini's Take Vermont is a rally event primarily. And on top of that, it's a charity event. This year's charity is the Lamoille Community Food Share. Now, that's a nonprofit group of volunteers dedicated to food security for the neighbors in and around Lamoille County. So kind of like we do down at the Dragon for Graham County down there. It's what they do up there in Lamoille County. It's a really neat idea. I like the mini groups get involved with the community. Now, the schedule of events up there at Mini's Take Vermont, you can find it online, actually, mtvt.club, not com, not org, mtvt.club. So October 17th, they have a welcome reception. You can pick up your badges, get all your information there, as well as meet everybody, and have a great dinner. October 18 and 19, that's rally days. Now, they restrict the rallies to 15 to 20 cars per rally. That way, they don't have to worry about a bunch of stragglers getting separated. The sweeper and the leader can keep an eye on everybody really well, and it's a lot more controllable. I love rallies with about that number of cars because it's so much easier to keep an eye on everybody. So they'll line up at about 7:30, wheels up, as we say, 9 a.m. All the rallies have a bunch of twisties, a lot of unique points of interest, lunch stop, and other fun things to see and do, they say. And as pretty as Vermont is, if any of y'all did Mini Takes Estates in 2022, you know how pretty that part of the world is up there. Now on the 18th, they do a beer and cookie swap. If you've ever been to the Dragon, done the beer swap there, you bring a beer or two or three or eight or 10 or 12 from your area up there, and you swap with other people who bring beers from their area. So that's a neat way to try a different beer that you probably wouldn't have access to. Now, they know not everybody drinks beer, so they're also doing a cookie swap. I don't know about you, but between beer, minis, and cookies, life doesn't get much better than that. You don't want to do them at the same time. You don't want to do beers and mini together. It's a bad idea. I think a beer and cookie swaps are an ideal way to go. We're going to have to figure out how to do that at some of our events. Now, after the day's funds on the 19th, they have a farewell dinner, and it's a special event. Helps give back to the community of the area there. Again, they want to be good neighbors, so if they go back again later, remember they move it all around, they'll get welcomed. A lot of mini clubs do that, and I think that's super, super smart. Not all car clubs can say that. A duty to add, there is a $25 charge. You have to basically join the club to be part of the fun. But look, you get a reception dinner, you get a farewell dinner, you get runs, you get a beer and cookie swap, and $25 is a bargain for everything you get. And remember, you're supporting the community, so it all goes to a good cause. Now, last year, they had 110 minis there. That's a lot of minis. That qualifies, in my book, as a big event. So kudos to them for that. And if you get a chance, go. And Josh did say a lot of Canadians come across the border for the event. So there's that. It's kind of an international event, which makes it cool. So if you've got room on your calendar, October 17th to the 20th, head north to Vermont. Smuggler's Notch Ski Resort in Jeffersonville, Vermont, specifically. And you're going to go there for Mini's Take Vermont. You can find info at that at mtvt.club. Remember, not com, not org, not nothing else. mtvt.club. Head over there, get your info. And if you can make it, carve out a little bit of time and get up there to Mini's Take Vermont. You're going to see some gorgeous scenery. You're going to motor some fantastic roads. You're going to meet some really neat people. You're going to have a lot of fun. And you're going to help the community out while you do that. Don't miss Mini's Take Vermont. And before we wrap up episode 4 here of the CooperCast, I need to thank a really good friend of the mini community and of me personally, Craig Burkett. Now, you might be going, I don't know a Craig Burkett. Actually, you probably do if you've ever bought a Minis on the Dragon shirt or if you've made one of our club runs and you've had one of our shirts, or more than likely, if you've ever bought a club shirt from your mini club wherever you are, you know his work. Craig has done shirts for the mini community for, hell, as long as I've known. That's been 13, 14 years or more. Craig's ideas and designs just blow me away. I mean, no two are the same. There's just a mile of difference from one to the other. There's no way in hell I could come up with ideas like what he has. His talents really have no bounds. He's super cool to deal with. He's done our company shirts when we had our body shop. He does our shirts for our detail shop now. He's done shirts for many clubs literally all over the world. And he's kind of retired. He sold his business during COVID. And he's backed out of it a little bit. And he's still doing some things for the guys that he's been working for. But he's not looking to do anything new. So I can't really help you guys out if you're still looking for something. But I just want to take a moment or two and thank Craig. All of his hard work for all of his years for all the clubs he's done. Craig, thank you for everything. Oh, and by the way, he did all of our CooperCast logos and everything. So, I mean, if you look at them, you get an idea of what he's done. He's just an amazing artist, and he's a really good friend, and he's a great friend of the mini community. So, Craig, thank you for everything, buddy. Enjoy your retirement. Stay well and take care. And that, my friends, is going to wrap up episode 4 of the CooperCast. Hey, thanks for letting us borrow your ears for a little bit and just to tune in here. We appreciate that. If you get a spare moment, give us a like and a review. That helps us spread the word a little bit about the CooperCast podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends. Share the podcast. That helps us grow. Don't forget the CooperCast Facebook page. You can shoot us a message if you got any ideas for a topic for a future podcast. A lot of times when we ask questions, that gives you a good spot to put a little bit of feedback for us. So until next time, I'm your host, Dale Blankenship. This is the CooperCast podcast. Remember, it's the fun podcast for you, the mini motoring community. Until next time, motor safely, and don't forget to wave.